promise you a little bit of a shorter service, but there's one thing that I'd really like to take a minute to do, and that's invite my friend Pastor Evis Ruziga. If you would come forward, what we're going to do is I want to tell you a little bit about something that's going on. We're partnering with a church called Redeemed Disciples, and this is Pastor Evis. He's leading this church. His brother Daniel's a pastor there. And they're going to start using space in here that we're sharing with them starting next week. So their services are going to begin meeting here in the gymnasium building upstairs. And so they kind of have a space that's their own, so they're able to kind of grow and expand their church. But there's one really interesting thing that they do, and their language that they hold their services in is Swahili. And so I hope that you'll take the time throughout time to get to know them a little bit. We're always welcome to join in their services as you are ours. But I invited Pastor Evis today just because I wanted you to be able to see him and know who he is, but also because we're going to be bumping into each other, and this is what the kingdom of God looks like as we are working together for the cause of the gospel. And so I asked Pastor Evis this morning just briefly to come up and share a prayer with us in Swahili and just pray a blessing over this day, and we'll be praying for the Redeemed Disciples Church of the New Covenant as you're meeting here as well, and we're excited for this day. We're excited for this partnership. So, Pastor, would you pray for us today?
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay, let us stand up. Baba, katika jina la Bwana na Mwokozi wetu Yesu Kristo, wewe ni muweza wa mambo yote. Tunakushukuru kwa sababu tuko mahali hapa, na wewe ndiwe umetufanya kuwa mahali hapa. Asante kwa sababu umeturuhusu kukanyaga hata kwenye madhabahu ambayo Mungu tumekaribishwa mahali hapa. Tunakushukuru Baba katika jina la Yesu Kristo mwana Mungu aliye hai. Tunainua hili kanisa mikononi mwako Yesu Kristo. Libariki kanisa hili, bariki mipango yote ya leo. Angalia events ambayo Bwana ziko leo, tunaziacha mikononi mwako. Tunaombea kanisa lote la Nazareni Yesu Kristo ulibariki. Asante kwa sababu hautampunkia pia Pastor Nick pamoja na kanisa na familia yake. Yote tunakabidhi mikononi mwako, wewe mwenye uonekane. Asante kwa kutufanya kuwa umoja pamoja na ndugu zetu. Tunakushukuru kwa sababu hautapungukia. Tunaomba Bwana ubariki kanisa hili, bariki wote walio katika ibada hii. Neema kubwa ionekane katika kanisa hili. Bwana asante kwa sababu wanaweza kuwa na mahitaji mengi, kwako ndiko kuna kuwa majibu ya mahitaji yao. Uwatendee mema na utukufu wako ufunike hili kanisa. Tunakushukuru kwa sababu unafanya hivyo na unatenda sawa sana makusudi na mapenzi yako katika jina la Yesu Kristo. Na wote tuseme amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you Pastor. It's good to be with you. Thank you. Yes. So you may be seated now. I'm glad to welcome those of you who are guests, those of you who are still relatively new here. I'm glad to have you with us today, and welcome to First Church of the Nazarene. One of the things I've picked up a saying is we're relentlessly pursuing the next generation, and sometimes you think, oh man, that takes a lot of work. Yes, it does, and so we're up to the task. It's our pleasure to work in ways to reach the next generation of kids. We have our daycare here, and every week they come over for chapel, and just whatever it is that we can do to reach out to the next generation, we're going to do those things and work to see our community changed. It's an honor to be able to partner with the Redeemed Disciples Church, and just a little bit, I'm off script already at the very beginning of this thing, but just something that I'd like for you to know about their church as you get to know them a little bit, and here's what it is. Pastor Evis and his family have come originally from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has a lot of rebels and rebel militias and things like that. And they had to flee that a long time ago, many years ago, went eventually to Uganda and lived there for a long time, and then came here to the United States as immigrants and are working through the process of citizenship. Daniel, I believe, already has gotten that. Daniel, bless your heart, man. His wife is still in Uganda, so pray for them. There's a lot of these struggles and things that they're working through, and pray that God would provide the ways for this to happen. But here's what, I said all that to say this. They're a church that started here in our town, but they have, is it five congregations that are over in Africa still that you're supporting? There are churches starting here, and they're supporting and starting churches in Africa. That is a work that I can't even comprehend the difficulty in that. So this is something totally unplanned. We didn't talk about this before. I didn't run this by anybody. Just as he was praying, I felt that this was the thing to do. You have little envelopes in your pockets in the pews in front of you. Well, you're in the front row. You don't have one. But if you have any cash in your wallet that you would like to give that supports this work and this ministry, I'd invite you to just write Redeemed Church. That's that you can remember that. They have like five words in their name, Redeemed Disciples of the New Covenant, something like that, I believe. But if you can just write Redeemed Church, and any cash that goes there will just go straight to their church ministry. They are a business. They are registered, so they're able to receive that. And I just like to invite you to do that. We have a basket that's in the back here on this little table. Your connection cards can go in there, and any of your tithes and offerings that you give weekly can go in there. But if you would be able to give anything to their ministry that's both here and around the globe, that would be, I believe, an amazing work, a blessing from God from you. Amen? Okay, I'm going to get on script now. I've got two gals back there. They're like, come on, Nick, don't do this to me today. We look at the Bible as Christians or as people who are trying to understand what it means to follow Christ. And we look to this word. We look to this book. We look to, really, this is a collection. This is a library of books. We look at this as one book, but it's a library of 66 books that are put together in what we call the Bible. And we look in this book to see, or this library of books, to see what it says about our Savior Jesus. If we call Jesus Christ the Savior of the world, we want to understand what that means. And we want to understand how Jesus meets the reality in which we live. In other words, Jesus wasn't just alive a long time ago and important to the people in his culture in his day, and then now is just like some guy that we read about. We believe that Jesus is actually very relevant to today's reality. No matter the times we live in, the person of Jesus Christ and the message that he brings are relevant to us today. We might look at that as a vintage faith that has a vibrant reality. We live in a vibrant world, a world that is made up of many different things, and this vintage faith that we have in Christ is still real today. So we look to the scriptures for that, and we look to see what Jesus did, what he said, and how he lived. And it shows us the paths that we can walk to have life, both today and eternally. So we're going to share some scriptures today. I believe they're going to be up on the screens as well. But it's from the Gospel of John chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 66 and read through verse 69. After this, many of his, Jesus' disciples, quit following him and did not accompany him any longer. Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Simon Peter answered him. He said, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen. Now, a little bit of the background on this, and for those who are here regularly, I can go for like way too long about background behind scripture, and I'm going to limit that. But what we have going on is Jesus had been doing miracles. He'd been teaching about life and about the kingdom of God, and the most recent miracle he had performed was he took one lunch. He took one lunch, just some bread and some fish. Maybe for some of us that sounds like a good lunch, and for some of us we think, I could do better. But that's what they had. And he took that, and he fed more than 5,000 people. And he took that lunch, and he fed all these people that were there to hear him preach. And then you know what Jesus did? Right after that, he starts doing what John, that wrote this book, one of Jesus' disciples, reflecting later as an older gentleman, he writes this down, and he says, this was a hard teaching. In other words, what Jesus said wasn't something that was easily received. And if you ever think that Jesus is just kind of like, you know, he's just kind of hippie-like, just flow, goes with the flow, sometimes Jesus says difficult things, things that we don't want to hear, things that confront our lives and kind of demand that we might adjust to it, shift how we're living. And so a lot of these people who had just partaken in that meal and received all these miracles and heard all these words, they said, you know what? I'm out. I can't handle this hard teaching. I'm going to get out of here. And in reality today, many people do the same thing. Many people will hear the teaching of Jesus Christ and they'll say, no, that's not for me. No, thank you. And they'll walk out. And so Jesus, you know what? This is a terrible strategy, it seems. Like most pastors today or people who are leading a movement or maybe a public speaker or something like that whose job it is to communicate what they believe to be the truth to the people that will listen to them, it's not usually a good thing to say dangerous stuff that you know is going to push people away and then you lose your audience. And most of us as human beings struggle with that. We don't want to do anything that pushes anybody out. And yet here's Jesus, and he just looks at these 12 guys that are staring at him, his 12 closest friends, his what we call his disciples. A disciple is someone that follows another person and learns from them. He looks at his 12 disciples, and he basically says, are you guys going to bounce too? If you don't know what that means, it means, are you going to leave? Are you going to get out of here too? Basically, he asked, are you going to walk with me? Or are you also going to leave like those other people did? And there's this one guy. We read about him, Peter. I love Peter. Peter, he had this uncanny ability to just always say whatever thing popped in his head. So many times it was the dumbest thing possible. So many times he said something so stupid. One time he said something so stupid that Jesus looks at him and he says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Jesus said that to Peter one time. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Jesus Christ calling you Satan? By the way, that word Satan actually means adversary. So Jesus was saying that what Peter was doing was adversarial or against Jesus, against his mission, against his ministry. And he says, no, no, get behind me. And it was a reminder that Peter's the disciple, Jesus is the teacher. Well, Peter, though, this time, he gets it right. Sometimes that first thing that popped into his head was the right thing. Every now and then, Peter hits the nail on the head. And this is one of those times where he says, what can we do? Where else should we go, Jesus? You are the one who has the words of eternal life. You're the one who is showing us life, both here and eternally. You have the words of life. We have no one else to go to. Now hear me. We need to know this. This is really important. When we die, it's either just lights are out and that's it. Just, we're gone. Snuffed out. Not even like darkness, just nothingness. We're gone. It's either that or we go somewhere. Can we agree on that basic premise? If you die, you're either that's it and there's nothing else, or there's that part of you, what we believe to be called our soul, that goes on outside of the body. You know, there's some people that say, oh, well, I need to work on my soul. Oh, no, 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 no. You are a soul who has a body. It's our bodies that we need to work on, right? I feel that. It's our bodies that need nutrition. It's our bodies that need sleep. It's our bodies that need these things. But our soul is that eternal part of us. And that's the thing that Jesus is most concerned with. He wants our bodies to be healthy. We pray for healing. We believe that Jesus has done miracles. That might seem crazy, but I'll tell you it's not. It's not that crazy because if God can make us, he can fix us. And so he does care about our bodies, but it's that inner part of us, that part that's immaterial, that's not made of physical nature, our soul. And our soul is that thing that goes on forever. Unless there's just nothing. If there's just nothing, then there's no hope that we have on this earth. You can just live out your life and do whatever you want. But if something happens when we die, if we go someplace, it'd be helpful to know a little bit about that, right? It'd be helpful to know, like, if Jesus is the Holy One of God, as Peter said, if Peter and the other apostles had somehow figured this out, if they had witnessed it and they understood that this man before them that taught them and did these miracles, if this man named Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God, the Holy One of God, then it's important to listen to him, right? Like, if he really is who he claims to be, then we should listen to him. We should learn from him. And so I thank God that we have these, what we call the Gospels, these four books, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, that are written, each one from a different perspective, to help us understand something about who Jesus is and how Jesus calls us to live and how he has given everything to bring us into fellowship with God. And so there's something that we need to know about what Jesus said about life after death. See, Jesus didn't just talk about life on this earth. He didn't just set a good example for earthly life. He also talked about life after death. And so, friends, I want to tell you two things. The first thing that I want to tell you is that it's never a good idea to go on a journey without Jesus. We have this thing that says traveling with Jesus. And, of course, we're looking at the summer as we embark on summer. And for kids that were in school, they're out of school now, a summer break, and you might be going on vacation. You might be traveling. You know, you might be going somewhere, and you might just say, no, I'm staying home. Whatever it is, whatever your time is, if you're going, embarking on something this summer, it's best to go there with Jesus. That's the idea that we have from this scripture today. That's the idea we have from the words that Peter spoke about where else would we go? Jesus is the one that has the words of eternal life. So no matter what or where, travel with Jesus. Here's some practical ideas. You've got some on the screen. Find a Bible reading plan on YouVersion or Bible Gateway. If you don't know what that is, there are apps on your phone that you can get, or you can go to their website on a computer. But I love the apps on your phone, especially YouVersion. That's the one that I tend to use the most. There's these reading plans that are simple, and some of them are just 5 to 7 days, and some of them go for 50 or 60 days even. There's different ranges of them. But you can go through this reading plan that will help you explore something about the life of Jesus Christ and what it means to be a Christian. You can go to one of those and use those reading plans, or just simply say, I'm going to read one chapter a day. And you can start anywhere you want in the Bible. You don't have to start at the beginning and read all the way through. I promise you there will be some parts fairly early on. You'll hit those and you'll say, I'm bored. You know, there's a lot of names and numbers that just kind of keep going and don't stop. And you're thinking, why do I need to know this? You'll get there at some point. If you're just starting out reading the Bible, you probably don't need to read those yet. Did the pastor just say you don't need to read that part? No, I said you don't need to read it yet. There'll be a time where it'll click, where you're like, that's why that's in here. I need that. But for now, maybe you start with the Gospels. Start with, I like the Gospel of John that we're reading from today. It's laid out so beautifully. But whatever it is, pick somewhere and start there. There's one of the other things that I would highly suggest you do, especially if you have questions about who God is or about what God has for our lives today. And that is to write out your prayers. And this is for two reasons. One, our thoughts in our head get more clear when we write them down. I do this sometimes when I'm contemplating something or when I'm working through something. I'll either type it in a note on my phone or write it on paper. But write down your prayer requests and your questions. The questions you have for God about who God is. We all have them. I don't care if you've been walking with God for 6, 7, 8 decades, you still have questions for God about who he is and what he wants for you. Or if you're new to faith, or you can't even say that you have faith in God yet, but you're like, I think you're real, God, and I want to know more, write down those questions that you have. Because as you write them down, you'll be able to look back and see the ways God has answered those things, both your prayers and your questions. Write your prayers down. Now, people have told me for years to do journaling, and I just kind of say, I'm a man. That seems a lot like talking about our thoughts and feelings, and we're not good about that. So that's why I specifically said, write down your questions, write down your prayers. If you want to journal, that was a joke. You guys could have laughed at that one, you know, like I know there's some men that journal, and that's okay if you're a man that journals. I'm just saying I'm not that in touch with my journal side of me, you know? So anyway, you can do that. The last thing that I might suggest, and there's probably a whole bunch more, but I just wanted to give you some practical things that you could do, is to read one book this summer. Now, for me, that's like, oh, you can do a whole lot more than that. But I also know a statistic that says how few people actually read books. And I think, okay, pick one. This can be a book that's about either the life of Jesus Christ, and if you need some suggestions, I've got plenty. Or a book that says what it's like to live the Christian life. Pick one book and read that. And that's one of three ways that you can travel with Jesus this summer. But now there's a second thing that I wanted to talk to you about today. The first one was walking with God today. The second one is about eternity. Me personally, I don't want to travel through this whole life. I don't want to live my entire life on this earth not having walked with God. I don't want to spend my entire life on this earth and hit that moment where my body dies and say I didn't walk with God my whole life. Now, some of you might say, well, I haven't been walking with God yet. No, but he's not far from you. He's not far from you. There's this guy named Paul in the New Testament. He's an apostle, and the job of the apostles is pretty much just to go and share about who Jesus was, the resurrected Savior that they have. And Paul talks to this group of philosophers. They didn't really know God very well. In fact, they worshipped like thousands of gods. But he tells them, he says, you know, there's this one God that you haven't approached yet. I saw an altar in your city. It says, to an unknown God. And that one God that you don't know, I want to make known to you. And he shares with them about the God who both created the universe, but also created us individually. And so he says, I want to make him known to you. Now that's unheard of. All these gods that the world goes after that are really dead, they're really nothing. They're not personal. They're not known by you. You can't know them. There's nothing there. But the one true God, he has reached out to us. He sent his son to not only live in our midst, but also to die for us. And in dying, he took our death upon himself, and he took all the guilt and shame of our sin upon himself. And then he rose again to new life, and he offers us that new life for ourselves. I don't want to go through my whole life not knowing him. He's the one person that I want to know. And the beautiful thing is, this is where we can't quite comprehend it. This is where faith comes into play. Faith is understanding those things that you can't see, believing those things that aren't tangible right in front of you. And yet if you look, if you really are looking, you'll see God at work in our world, and you'll know that God is active in our midst. I want to walk with Jesus my whole life. Peter had said that Jesus has the words of eternal life. He was a friend of Jesus. He wasn't just a follower of his. He was a friend of Jesus's. And he says, Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. I've heard a lot of people talk about how to make this world a better place. I've heard a lot of people talk both about the problems in the world, and I'm probably guilty of this too, quite a bit. But we can look at the problems and we could try to figure out a solution to making the world better. But truly, the world is not a better place without the life of Christ living in and through us. Jesus gave his whole life, not just to make the world a better place, but to bring us into eternal life. He offers us that eternal life, that side of eternity that we call heaven, is free of all the things that are plaguing our world, the poverty, the sickness, the war, the pain, all of those things. It's free of that. We might feel like we're struggling and suffering today, but God's at work, not only here and now, but for eternity. So, faith seems complicated. Faith, like, if you haven't crossed over that line of faith where you can claim, I believe that Jesus Christ is real, that he's the Son of God, that he died and he rose again. If you haven't gotten to that point where you can say that, that's okay. That's fine. Even, if we're honest, even the person who's been a Christian the longest, I don't know who that is, but whoever that is in this room has still got some questions and some doubts today. And you know what we've learned to do? Here's the biggest thing about faith that we've learned to do, is to say, I still have those questions. I still have things that I don't quite understand. And I keep asking God about it, and sometimes he gives me the answer, and sometimes he doesn't. But here's what I can tell you. I know who I have believed in. I'm persuaded that he is able to complete the thing that he started. Those weren't my words. I stole them from a song, by the way. I'm not a good singer, so I didn't sing it. I'm convinced of that. And my faith carries me through those questions that I have. And eventually, all I know is that God is real. And God loves me. And that God loves you as well. So, here's the way to simplify faith. Start with saying, God, I believe you're real. I got a lot of things that I don't understand about that yet, but I believe you're real. And the next thing is admitting that we're kind of messed up. The Bible's called that sin. It's a word that can be defined a whole bunch of different ways. However you want to look at that or understand that is up to you. Just understanding that, and if you think, no, I'm not that bad. Look, I'm not trying to rank who's the worst and the best. All I'm saying is look around the world and say, this place is kind of messed up. But God's not done with it yet. I'm kind of messed up, but he's not done with me either. All right? If that's not worth a praise God or an amen or a thank you, Jesus, I don't know what is. So when we admit that we've gotten it wrong, what we're doing is basically saying, God, I need your help in this. I've gotten it wrong, but God, you can help me with this. So then the next step would be to trust in God. You see, he offers us forgiveness, or we could understand that to say, when we say, God, I've messed up, he says, that's okay, I'm making it right. He's ready to heal our lives. He's ready to fix the places that we've gotten wrong along the way. So after that, you begin to trust in God. You begin to trust that he is ready to heal you and to heal your life. The last thing is just travel with Jesus. Walk with him. Learn from him. Grow in that faith that you have, even though it might be small. Say, God, increase the faith that I do have. I want you to know more than anything else today, God loves you. There's nothing that you've done or been involved in or gotten into that can separate you from his love. All you have to do is say, God, I receive that love. As you do that, the healing begins in our lives. As you say, God, I accept your love for me in a way that no one else can give it or offer it. God can. And it's for you right now today. A lot of times churches will do things like they'll make you repeat a prayer. I'm not going to make it that easy on us today. You see, I don't want to give you something to repeat and then you just mouth it back and then everything's good from there. You see, there's a little bit of struggling we have to do with God sometimes. Not that we have to fight him, but we have to say, God, I need to understand this. And so what I want for you is for you to be able to put that into your words, not mine. Does that make sense? But I invite you today that if you haven't been traveling with Jesus, or as Peter said, walking with him because there's no one else to follow, then start that today with just a simple declaration. God, I believe. Help the things where I struggle with my belief. Amen? I'm going to wrap up with that. We're going to have our event outside today. I'm going to pray with you in just a moment. But I want to give you a couple things about what we're doing outside. One of those things is welcoming people in about 40 minutes or so. Maybe they'll be showing up a little earlier, and so that's fine. And so what we have the opportunity to do is to go out there and just kind of start, you know, enjoying the space, enjoying the time. Or you can stay in here and do that where the air conditioning is going on. We'll also be having our gymnasium opened up. We have some basketballs in there. People can play and have a good time with that. And so that's one of the possibilities. And so there's a lot of nice air conditioning in that building as well. Some of you might even say it's a little bit cold. I say you haven't been outside long enough. You know, it'll feel really nice if you stand outside a little longer. But once we get going on some grills and some food, we'll be able to enjoy that together. And if you see somebody that you don't know, start up a conversation with them. It's as simple as that. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so. What's your name? And then go from there. Sound good? All right. I'm going to offer us up a prayer, and from that point on, we'll be just kind of dismissed to go to where we want. Let's pray. God, we just thank you this morning that we can share in this message of hope and forgiveness and new life and eternity. Jesus, I believe you're real because I've known you as my friend. No, you're not just my imaginary friend. You're my real friend. The one who is not just been out there somewhere in some cosmic place, but you came here to this earth. You were born like we were born, and you lived as we lived. But you walked this earth in a way that had no sin. You had no dishonesty, no cruelty, no hate. You only love us. So I thank you for that. May we not only follow your example, but may we be healed and cleansed by you. That the death you died carried our sins and our faults to the grave. And that the new life that you live, that you rose again to that new life, may we receive that life as our own. May we receive the life that you offer us, both now and in eternity. And God, I pray if there's anybody here that's on that line where they're struggling with faith and they don't know whether to commit themselves to you or not, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be there with them. Wrap your arms around them and just show them your love, how much you care about them. and show them the light of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to encourage you as one last thing. If you have those questions about God, write them down. Commit them to Him. And if you haven't filled it out yet, there's that little connection card about this big that we have. You can put your name and information on that. You can put it in that basket back there. And if you have any prayer requests or if you want to say, hey, I'd like to somehow talk with the pastor about these questions I have, I'd be happy to do it. And if you'll put some contact info on there, I'll reach out to you. Amen? That concludes our service today. You're welcome to stay in the air conditioning, go outside, whatever it is. Our official start time for our end of school bash starts at 11:30. And so we're here to enjoy that now. But be ready to welcome some other folks in as they show up. Amen? Thank you, guys.